So welcome to the Mashiach and Geula class, Mashiach Matters. We're holding over here in Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The Pasuk Vayetar Yitzchak LaHashem, L'noichach Ishtoi, right in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, Yitzchak Davin to Hashem, opposite his wife, because she's an Akara, V'yaaser Lo Hashem, and Hashem answered him, V'tarivke Ishtoi, and Rivka became pregnant. Last week, by the way, in the last class, I don't know who was on, there was an amazing Indian over here, which we discussed. I mentioned it this week also in a talk that I gave in New York on Sunday night. That Yitzchak and Rivka, one of the fascinating things the Zohar says, that Yitzchak and Rivka are the body and the neshama after Tchias HaMesim. Rivka is the body and Yitzchak is the neshama. Before Tchias HaMesim, in the current state of affairs, the neshama is Avram and the body is Sarah. But after Mashiach comes, the new neshama of La'asad Lavo is going to be the Yitzchak. Yitzchak means laughter. It's going to be a world of pleasure and delight. And the new guf, after it's already refined, is going to be called Rivka. So we learned that at that time, in order to have children, one is going to have to be Ma'oyre Rachmim, a special his Oyredus. Why? Because nowadays, we have one of the strongest drives in the human being is the drive for intimacy. Now that drive, however, is misplaced. It's Yetzer Hara. It's an evil inclination, and it goes in all directions. It's not necessarily focused. L'noichach ishtoi. It's squandered. It's looking to express itself in all directions. Like it says that, but when Mashiach will come, there will be a tremendous diminishment in the taiva, because the Yetzer Hara will be severely diminished. And the Zohar brings that the Yetzer Hara these days is called loit, shikir v'loit, drunken like loit, intoxicated like loit. That's the Yetzer Hara. The etzem of the Yetzer Hara is loit, and the expression of the Yetzer Hara is his two daughters. Shem HaBechira, the oldest daughter. Shem HaTzeira, the younger daughter. Bechira is his first daughter. Tzeira is his younger daughter. And it says that Bechira, she's the Yetzer Hara for Znus. But she's also Bechira. She's very, very powerful. She's firstborn. She's very strong. Znus means immorality. The second Yetzer Hara, the second daughter, the Tzeira, Koyach HaMachzik, the Yetzer Hara form. Now, not exactly sure what that means, Koyach HaMachzik. That's what it says. But in any case, two in Yonim. When Mashiach will come, Loit will go to the mikveh, and he will be purified, and he will be, and it's interesting, Loit Taka is the one that goes with Avram. In other words, Avram Avinu is the neshama, Avram and Sarah, they're the neshama and the guf in this world. Vayelech itam loit, who goes along with them? The loit, which is the Yetzer Hara of today's days, the Yetzer Hara in all of its power, and with its two daughters. That's all related to the world of Avram, which is Avram and Sarah, and the greater scheme of things represent neshama and guf until Mashiach comes. After Mashiach comes, in the days of Yitzchak and Rivka, in the days of Tchias HaMesim, in the days of the future guf and the future neshama, we don't deal anymore with Loit. Loit is out of the picture. But instead, we deal with a new character called Lavan. Lavan is the Yetzer Hara after he went to the mikveh already. Lavan means white. It's already refined Yetzer Hara. To do away with the Yetzer Hara completely, we can't, because then there won't be any chamimus. There won't be any physical heat in the body for it, and therefore there couldn't be any children being born in the world. Like the Gemara says, one time, they daven to the Eibishter, that because the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah was so strong, they daven to the Eibishter to take away the Avodah Zarah of Yetzer Hara, and the Eibishter took it away. But then they also daven that the Eibishter should take away the Yetzer Hara of Znus, and the next day there wasn't any eggs to be found, because the chickens didn't lay any eggs. I mean, the whole chamimus, the whole desire for physical intimacy was removed from the world. So without any trace of fire, so to speak, in the body, the physical fire, then there wouldn't be a shaykh to have a world. So for that reason, but our Yetzirah today is all over the place. He's not focused where he needs to be focused. When Mashiach will come, it will be Lavan. That's why Yitzchak and Rivka, they deal with Lavan. Rivka comes, Rivka Achash, my Lavan. Right? She has a brother, Lavan. But that's already the new age Yetzirah rectified. And the two daughters, as we mentioned last time from the Zohar, are Leah and Rachel. Leah represents tired. Leah means Nilesi, I'm tired. The one thing that we don't mind should get a little tired is the Yetzer Hara. Now, Yetzer Hara should, you know, now it's like when we want to go daven, we want to go learn, we want to do the Yanam of Kedusha, sometimes we feel tired, we feel exhausted, we don't have any koyach. But the Yetzer Hara, he's always awake, he's always strong, he's always kicking very strong. Mashiach will come, the desires of the Nefesh Elikis, of the godly soul, the desires of what we should be, will never be tired. We'll always feel fresh and in the mood of doing a mitzvah. Comes, however, to Nyanam of Yetzirah and Nyanam Gufnim of the body. Sometimes, there isn't that fire. That's the Inyan of Leah. Leah is one of the daughter of Lavan. And also Rachel, she's silent. She's not as stubborn. Not as stubborn as the old Yetzirah. In any case, that's Leah and Rachel. And that's so here, therefore, it says that when Yitzchak and Rivka needed to get together, Rivka couldn't have any children. Ki akarahi, she's an akara. Why? Because she's lacking the body after Mashiach comes, is lacking the desire for procreation. So she's an akara. In order to create it, the neshama will have to daven to evoke that fire. So that's, in other words, just like we need to daven today, for instance, we daven v'ahav ahavas olam. We daven to the Eibush to please inspire our heart, help us love you, Eibush, to help us have a holy fire. After Mashiach comes, we're going to have to daven for a physical fire, for the fire of, that's a pasuk, v'yeta Yitzchak l'Hashem l'noichach ishtoi, for the sake of his wife, v'yeta l'Hashem v'taharivke ishtoi. It's an amazing, amazing Indian to appreciate and understand the condition of our nefesh Bahamas as we are moving into Mashiach's days already. So, that's what I was mentioning on Sunday night, that when the Rebbe says we should live Mashiach day, maybe we should rethink our own Yetzirah. Maybe we should recognize that maybe in our minds, our Yetzirah is still registered as a very, 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 very fiery, intense being that desires all kinds of desires. But maybe it's not so true already. Maybe our Yetzirah is already in the process, at least, of moving from Loit to Lavan. And sometimes a person imagines a Yetzirah more than he really has the Yetzirah. Like sometimes a person reaches a certain maturity, a certain emotional, certain intellectual, a certain maturity in life where you appreciate something of greater value and of greater significance and greater importance, and that's your excitement. And this, that, but the person still gets excited about Narishkeit. But why does he get excited about Narishkeit? Not be'etzem that he has an excitement, but he or she convinced himself so much that I still have this desire and I still have this one because this is who I am. But be'emes, it's not true. So maybe it's time for us to like rethink our own Yetzirah. Think that, like the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that there's two types of Yetziraharas. There's a shade, Mishedun Nechroin. There's a demon that's a Gentile, Agoyesh Yetzirah. That's a Yetzirah that desires all kinds of things that are not kosher. And the Alter Rebbe says the Jewish Yetzirah is a shade mishade in Yehudan. He's a Jewish demon. A demon he is. He's a shade, but he's a Jewish demon. And the Alter Rebbe says when you're feeling Yetzirah is for the wrong things, no, it's not even a Jewish Yetzirah. It's not even dine Yetzirah. The Sacharayim gemisht Yechas Hashalom, you mixed into your Yetzirah in Yanam that don't even belong to you. It's alien. It's alien even to your Yetzirah. That's the idea. So similar to that, I'm saying, is as the world is transitioning from Galus to Giyula, it's important to us also to understand that our Yetzirah is also transitioning. And we don't have to keep our Yetzirah locked and believing that we still have our old Yetzirah. You should realize that, yes, there's a new makeover, and now our Yetzirah is weaker, be'etzem. If only we can tune into this and understand it, then we'll find that's takazo, it has to be this way. In any case, okay, there's a lot to think about that and a lot to develop that idea. Now, I saw another interesting beer over here. So there is a sefer called Kol Yaakov. Kol Yaakov is from the first Naviminsky Rebbe, from the early tzaddikim, lived probably about 150 years ago. And I find very, very geshmak in Yonim. Bechlal, you see in that this Yid, his heart was so ablaze with Mashiach. So he says, Vayetar, what does a tzaddik daven for? It's just so beautiful. Vayetar, what does a tzaddik daven for? And really, Va'amech Kulam tzaddikim. We're all tzaddikim, so we should all at least emulate the tzaddik. Vayetar, what does the tzaddik daven for? Yitzchak Lashem, that the Eibishter should laugh. You hear, this is gewaldig. Vayetar, what is the tzaddik davening for? Yitzchak Lashem, that the Eibishter should laugh. And he explains that until Mashiach comes, the Eibishter kind of is in a sad state. The Eibishter is not laughing. The Eibishter is pained. He's pained by the galus, as the Gemara says, how every night the Eibishter cries and drops tears. And the Eibishter, this whole situation of a world, of the Eibishter's light being obscured, and the suffering of the world, the suffering of the mayim tatoyim boichin, the lower waters are crying, the pain, the existential pain that exists until Mashiach comes, causes tremendous pain to the Eibishter as well. So, Vayetar, what does a Yid daven? Yitzchak Lashem, that the Eibishter is a lom tzchoik. Yitzchak is that Yitzchak, to give the Eibishter Yitzchak, to give the Eibishter tzchoik. And that, which is going to be when Mashiach will come. When it says that, Oz Yomali tzchoik pinu, we will laugh. And it says also, Yismach Hashem b'maisav, the Eibishter is going to rejoice in his world. So we mentioned this from the Zohar in earlier places, that from here you see, from the Lashon Yismach, as a Lashon Asid, futuristic, it implies that until that day, the Eibishter has not had any nachas and any true simcha from his world yet. He will be besimcha in the future. So that's the tefillah of the tzaddik, Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem. Yitzchak is davening, Vayetar, the tefillah is that Yitzchak Lashem, that the Eibishter should have schoik. The Zohar HaKadosh of the Holy Rav Shitzer, and he explains this pasuk, same idea. So he explained the pasuk, the geshmaka, very, very. He says that the word vayetar is mentioned twice in this pasuk. Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem. And then the second time, it's vayeaser loy Hashem. So vayetar, Rashi explains, means that Yitzchak davened very hard, la Hashem. And vayeaser loy Hashem means Hashem had responded, the Eibishter gave in, the Eibishter allowed himself to be convinced or to be won over. And Rivka became that. So, but the word is twice mentioned twice. Vayetar, vayetar. He says if you take the word vayetar and you rearrange the letters, you get the word tada. Tada. And what's tada? He says tada is, just give me a second over here how he spells it. Oh, you see, it's tada. Oh, yeah. Tof resh. Oh, he's not. Tafresh Ayin. It's interesting. I don't know where he gets Tafresh Ayin Aleph, Tara, if the word Vayetar doesn't have an Aleph, unless he's combining the Vav and the Yud. But it's interesting. I just noticed this when I was reading it. I mean, the Iker Oisius of the word, I do see, but how does he get the word Tara? Tara is spelled Tafresh Ayin Aleph. And Vayetar doesn't have, unless, you know, a aleph is really a vav and two yudin. But that would be pushing it a little bit to say that that's where he gets the aleph, that the vav yud of the word vayetar is, it makes up an aleph. I'm not exactly sure, but the inyan is ayah geshmak. And he says that vayetar twice means two tara. What's tara? Tara is the, in Aramaic, and you find it also in Gemara, you find it in Zohar many times. The word tara means a doorway, an opening, a doorway, an entranceway. So vayeta Yitzchak Lashem means as follows. He says that Yitzchak opened up a passageway la Hashem. What does it mean he opened up a passageway la Hashem? So the main inyan when a Yid wants to connect himself to the Eibishter, so the main gateway to Elukus, we learn Chassidus Chabad especially, talks all about his bininus, talks about contemplation. And a person should meditate on the Gedulas Hashem, on the greatness of the Eibishter, that is reflected in creation. When a person thinks about the Magadlo Masecha Hashem, the greatness of the Eibishter's deeds, Marabu Masecha Hashem. So the Rambam says this. The Rambam says that how does a person come to Avos Hashem? B'shasha Yisboinin Ha'odom, when a person will meditate the Eibishter's great Maisim and all of his deeds and the Floyus and so on and so forth. And especially Chassidus talks about all the time, that's the whole Avodah, is that you should learn Chassidus. You should get an appreciation, understanding of what does it mean, Baruch Sha'amar V'hoya O'olam, what does it mean, Hallelujah Hashem and Hashemayim and Ha'aretz, Tanunim V'chol Tahoymois, what does it mean, Yachet Chaya O'olam and Melech, that the Eibishter Chaya O'olam and the life force of the world is only from Sfiras HaMalchus, and the Eibishter is really higher than that. And Psukim, Kvoid Malchus Chayameiru, Kveras Chayadaberu, all of Chassidus is all about to give us an appreciation of the godless of the greatness of the Eibishter. But he says, that's really only a gate to something much higher. Because really, the Eibishter himself, leis machshava tfisabe, no thought can grasp him. So ultimately, you're using your mind, you're using your seichel to like give you an excitement and to be a doorway into elokus, into getlichkeit. Without seichel, without your mind, so you don't even have any connection. So now you're using your intellect, you're using your mind to meditate and to appreciate and so on and so forth. Once, however, you go through the door of the seichel, you suddenly open yourself up to something much deeper than seichel. And what's deeper than seichel? Our emunah. Emunah, because as it says in Tanya, emunah touches the Eibishter himself. The seichel is only perceiving and understanding what we can understand of Elokus, what our minds can appreciate of the divine. It's very limited. But the Eibishter himself, that's beyond. But it's not like we can't connect to him. We do connect him. We connect to the Eibishter through our koiches makifim, our koiches of our neshama, our koiches of our amunah, and our koiches of the higher koiches hanefesh that are higher than seichel. And they experience the Eibishter himself through amunah. So that's why he says that that's the meaning of when we say Shema Yisrael. So Shema Yisrael is the ultimate chibur of a yid and the Eibishter, but the word Shema, as we also see this in the Hayom Yom, Shema stands for, the Alter Rebbe said, Shema stands for Se'um Marei Menechem, lift up your eyes upward. That means contemplate, Seicheldik, look with your eyes, appreciate and understand with your intellect. And this will open up a gate that, what, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the truth of the Eibishter will be nirgash, will be sensed in your neshama higher than Seichel. Because as the Alter Rebbe says, Benegay to the Eibishter himself, we're like an animal with him. We can't touch the Eibishter with Seichel. We have to touch the Eibishter with a pure, simple bittel that comes from our Etzama Neshama, and that connects to the Eibishter himself. So therefore he says like this. That's the meaning of, by the way, that's the meaning of the pasuk. He says, Zeh keili v'yanveyu. The Yidden said, Zeh keili. So Zeh means you're pointing with a finger. So to point with your finger means you have to have some kind of a tangible something you can be pointing to. So that's referring to your seichel. Zeh keili. This is my God that I can perceive. V'anveyu, as it says in the Shloah HaKadosh. V'anveyu means I will beautify him, but also from the words, anivuhu, I connect to him in a way that I can assimilate it, I can connect to it, I can appreciate it, I can absorb it. This is all zekeli. So he says, however, that's not the ultimate. It says in the pasuk, zeh hashar l'Hashem, that zeh, this experience of zeh, of perceiving God with your mind, and you're just perceiving the Eibishter with your mind to a point where you can mamish, connect to it. But zeh hashar, that's only the gateway l'Hashem to the Eibishter himself. Tzadikim yavoyu boy. Tzadikim enter through the shar. What's tzadikim? The madrega of tzadik, he says, is the madrega of emunah. How do we find that? It says, tzadik b'emunasa yichya. The tzadik lives with his emunah. That means the tzadik is not afraid of an inyan that's higher than his seichel. The tzadik realizes the limitations of his seichel. Zeh hashar l'Hashem, the gateway to Hashem. Tzadikim yavoyu boy. The tzadikim go through that shar of intellect and understanding and so forth. But then you reach a point which is Mayaminu Bashem. You have an Amun and the Eibishter higher than what you see, higher than what you understand. It's the Etzem HaNeshama sensing through Amunah the Eibishter himself. So he says, that's what Yitzchak Avinu did. Vayetar Yitzchak. Yitzchak opened up a shar LaHashem to experience the Eibishter. Lenoichach Ishta, opposite his wife. His wife are all the Neshamas because their Knesset Yisrael is called the wife. So all of us neshamas, Yitzchak opened up a pathway, LaHashem, for us to experience godliness. How? Through his boinenus, contemplation, through the avoid of Zed, this inyan, this was a pathway to the Eibishter. But what happens? Vayetar loy Hashem, that the Eibishter, vayaoser loy Hashem. And what did the Eibishter do? Since Yitzchak opened up a passageway to the Eibishter to enable us, lenoichach ishto, his wife, Knesset Yisrael, to be able to experience the Eibishter through the gateway that Yitzchak opened, the Eibishter went and he took Yitzchak himself and he made him a gate. Vayetar loy Hashem. So Yitzchak opened up a path to the Eibishter. And Hashem said to Yitzchak, you know what? You, Yitzchak, you yourself will become Dara, Tara. You will become the gateway to me. What does that mean? So he says, we know that when Mashiach will come, we will say, L'Yitzchak ki ata avinu, you're our father. Ki Avram lo yodanu. Avram didn't know us, only Yitzchak. He says, Be'ikr, that means that all the tefillahs that we daven, primarily for Mashiach, he says, all the tefillahs that we daven for Geula, every time a Yid cries out for Geula, that cry and that longing and that tefillahs, they go through Yitzchak's neshama. The Eibishter made Yitzchak Avinu the gateway, that he himself is the gateway for Geula de Gelayit and for Geula de Getfilis. Shegam Yitzchak Avinu Nasa Shar Shakol Tfilois Geulay Seinu Oilem Derech Shar Tfilasai. That's an inyan. So there's two inyanim here. There is a shar that Yitzchak opens up of his boinanus, contemplation, and so forth. There's another gate, Yitzchak's gate of Admasai. How much longer a Yid cries for the Geula? That's through Yitzchak Avinu. Okay. Now, the Psukim continue. And the Psukim say, the next Pasuk says, the children, they wrestled amongst her. And she said, "In Cain, if so, lama zeh anochi." Vatelech lidresh es Hashem. So now the children were struggling inside of her. These, she had twins in her womb. They were fighting. She said, "Lama zeh anochi," and she went lidresh es Hashem. So we know what the Mefarad, the Medrash says, and everybody says that there was a war going on over the conflict. It was a conflict about basically on the sum totality of all of existence. It says that Yaakov and Esav, Rashi brings, were fighting over Nachla Shnei Olamais, over the Nachla, over the inheritance of both worlds. What does that mean? They were both wanted everything. Yaakov wanted everything and Esav wanted everything. Then they made some kind of a pshada. It says that in the womb, it says that the malach of Esav wanted to strangle Yaakov. The malach Samachmem, Samoel, that's what it says, came down. Esav was ma'oided his malach to come down and to murder his brother in the womb. It says malach Michoel, the malach of Yaakov, came down to defend Yaakov. And then the opposite happened. Yaakov wanted to burn, that's what it says, Lisroif, he wanted to burn Esav, completely destroy him in the womb. And the Eibishter didn't let it happen. The Eibishter set up a batei dinim, Hashem set up a court. And over there, they had to work it out. The two had to work it out without one completely killing the other. But they have to work it out amongst themselves. What was the pshada? The pshada they made was that Yaakov is going to get Olam Haba, and Esav is going to get Olam Haza, this world. The Medrash continues that later when Esav saw that Yaakov Avinu was coming back from Lavan's house, and he had 4 wives, 12 children, and an unbelievably amassed a fortune of wealth. So Esav thought that he got the raw part of the deal, because Yaakov doesn't even have Olam Haza, and yet he has such a significant chunk of whatever, has everything he needs. And imagine Olam Haba, what Yaakov is going to have. That's what it says in the Medrash. So we need to understand this fight between the two, which Be'ezus Hashem we're going to talk about more next week. I do want to, however, mention something, just a short little inyan, benegeya too, and then we're going to talk about more about this nachla, this meriva of the shtei olamos between Yitzchak, between the two descendants of Yitzchak, between Yaakov and Esav. But I saw something interesting from the Divrei Chaim, Reb Chaim of Tzanz. He says that Yaakov and Esav, he says the Yitzchak. It's known that the Avos, they already did a tikkun. We learned about this many times. That on some level they already completed the job. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they did the entire tikkun that needed to be done for the chait of Adam Arishon was already done by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You see it also in the Rebbe Sichas many times in Lekutei Torah, Torah Or, where the Alter Rebbe says that once Yaakov came back from Lavan's house, he thought already the Avodah was over. He had already his wife, his children, and he was ready for Yomai Samashiach. Because they knew they did already a tikkun HaShalom. Little did they know that, yeah, they did it, but they did it in Pepnimius. But then it also needs to be done b'chitzainius. It has to be done in the most external part of creation, in the outer olam hazeh gashmi mamish. It's not enough to do the tikkun in some spiritual realm. It has to be done in the, and that's going to take the avoid of the children. That's going to take a few thousand years of all the cumulative avoida and all the pain and whatever else it's going to take from the four Goliaths until we're going to get to the end. But they already knew that Be'etzem, they knew they do the tikkun already. So therefore, Yitzchak and Rivka thought that, especially Rivka was very, very, you know, aware that that her son is going to complete the job, finished, fartik. He's going to bring about the ultimate giloy. That's what she thought. And it says actually that the pagam of Adam Arishon, Adam and Chava, was the pagam of three averis. The three averis were avodah zarah, shvichas damim, gilui arayos, and shvichas damim. The three cardinal sins. So Avram Avinu was mesaking the chet of avodah zarah, the sin of idolatry, because he recognized Hashem. He fought. He broke the idols and so forth. He was thrown into a fire, siris nefesh, for not willing to bow down to the idols. Yitzchak was mesaking the tikkun of shvichas damim, of murder. It doesn't say exactly what, but I would imagine the fact that he stretched out his neck and was willing to be killed and murdered, so to speak, shechted for the Eibush, would say that was a tikkun on all spilled blood that is not kosher. Yaakov Avinu was a tikkun on all immorality, on gilui arayos. We find that Yaakov Avinu testified about himself that when he was paid dalet shana, he says about when Yitzchak was born, when Reuven was born, calls him koichi veracious oini. That means he never misused even the tiny, tiny bit. He never misused his procreative power. And he was tachlis hakadusha. And he's taka the one who has, about Yaakov Avinu, we say mitasai shlema, his bed is complete. That means that he was able to put up a family. There was no ra, there was nothing there. That means that he was tachlis of bitter, of purification, of the inyan of, as we spoke earlier about the Yetzirah of Znus, Yaakov Avinu was totally misaken it. So Rivka thought that with the third generation going to be born, chick-chack, the whole thing is over. So she expected that this boy is going to be the one who she has in the womb, the ultimate tzaddik. Because she knew they have to finish the bitur. Meanwhile, she starts experiencing, as Rashi says, when she's passing by a house of Torah study and the like, Yaakov Avinu is getting excited. But when she's passing by a house of Avodah Zarah, when she's passing by a house of Avodah Zarah, Esav got excited. So, as a result of this, she was wondering, that means that this child that she's bringing into this world doesn't seem like he's the one who is perfected and perfect and the ultimate Mashiach to get child. Because, take a look, there is all kinds of other stuff happening. And that's why it caused her tremendous anguish and tremendous pain. And she says these words, Lama zeh anoichi. Why zeh? Lama zeh anoichi. Rashi says, it means simply, why am I davening for children? But the Tzanzer Rav says, interesting, these words, zeh and anoichi is very, very, very pivotal. Zeh, he says, is the time when the Eibishter, what's the difference between Olam HaZeh and Yemoy Samashiach? In Olam HaZeh, the Eibishter is obscured, hidden. And therefore, we can't live a very godly life because it's very hard for us to experience the emes of the Eibishter. But Etzem HaYid is supposed to live in a consciousness, as it says in Shulchan Aruch right at the beginning, Shevisi Hashem Lenegdi Samed. I put the Eibishter in front of my eyes constantly. I'm always looking and seeing Hashem all the time. Hashem is very vivid, very real, very absolute, and full focus. When a Yid lives that way, obviously all of his machshava, dibur ma'isa, all of his thought, speech, and action is going to be consistent and synchronized with the purpose, with Kedusha, with what the Eibishter wants. Chas v'shalem. The reason why we don't live that way is because our reality is one in which the world seems to be such a world. Teva seems to be so much of a teva. It's obscuring the emes of the Eibishter, the truth of the Eibishter. What's going to happen when Mashiach comes? We're going to have crystal clean, real vision. We're going to get to see the emes with absoluteness without any distortion. And that's the meaning of Zeh. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he prophesied, he had a very clean vision. It's called Aspaklaria HaMe'ira, a very, very clean and clear vision, to the point that he was able to, he would say, Zeh HaDavar, this is what Hashem said. So by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Eibishter was very vivid. There was no cloud, there was no blockage. When Mashiach will come, it says Hashem is going to make a machol, a dance with the tzaddikim, and they're all going to point their finger, and they're going to say, Zeh. And also we know by Kriyas Yamsov, we had a Zeh moment, Zeh Ke Levi Anveyu. So what comes out? That the word Zeh represents the future Giloy, the future state where the world is going to be perfect, and the world is going to be in its ultimate perfected state. That is the Gilui of Zeh. Anoichi, what's Anoichi? Anoichi is the Gilui of the Eibishter himself that happened by Har Sinai. Anoichi Avaya Lekech. Similar to Zeh. When we have a Zeh, when we can point with our finger, what do we see? We see Anoichi. Anoichi Hashem Alekech. That's where Mashiach comes. It also says, always the Torah keeps on saying, Anoichi, 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 Himenachemchem, I am comforting you, and so on and so forth. Mashiach will come, there will be the Gilui of Anoichi. So she thought already that her child is going to live in the reality and in the consciousness of Zeh and Anoichi. So she said, I don't get it. We're holding now by the third generation, the three of us, meaning of the three generations, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, is supposed to bring to the state of affairs when it's going to be Zeh and Anoichi. But she says, if this is what's going on, and I feel the urge for Yetzahara, and so on and so forth, Lama Zeh Anoichi, what's with the Zeh and what's with the Anoichi? So the Eibishter answers her. She had a Nevuah, she went to the Navi, and he said, Shnei Goyim Bebitnech, there are two empires in your womb. And you're right, the one that's going to come out from you is Taka going to be the Tzaddik of Zeh Anoichi, and that's Yaakov Avid. But the Tikkun is not only going to be with Yaakov himself, it has to involve the rest of the world as well. And that's represented with the other son. And that's what she said, it's two empires will come forth from you. And the truth, the Jewish people, as we are already ready for Mashiach. Our neshamas are pure, ultimate pure. But our avodah is to purify also the other side, to purify Esav. And the end taka will be that Esav will also be purified. And Esav is going to be rectified, he says. But that's going to come after many, many years of struggling between these two powerful forces. They will struggle amongst each other, and in the end, Yaakov will do a tikkun even in Esav. And then he completes the tikkun. That Esav will also be rectified. And that's why he also emphasized, Rashi says, that two nations also implies two empires, Antoninus and Rebbe. So you see, there were moments in history when Esav and Yaakov were joined together. Antoninus was the emperor of Rome, and he was a good friend of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he helped the Jewish people out tremendously. So it was at the beginning, and at the end of times, it will again happen again. But then it will happen permanently. And that means that the king of Esav, the king of Edom, will support Kedusha and holiness, and quite on the contrary, he too, and Esav will be elevated. So that's the meaning of this Lama Zeh Anoichi, and the Eibishter answers her that it will be fulfilled, but it will be fulfilled on a universal level with the tikkun of Esav. I just want to conclude this year by saying something really phenomenal, and that is that it occurred to me yesterday, one of the most amazing sights we saw. It was a super moon. It had one bloom, super blue, super moon, blood moon, blue moon. And actually, something like that is called a wolf moon. So I feel connected to it. So what is the, I thought the significance of it, very interesting. We learned a few weeks ago that the bitter of Esav is that Esav is red. And we have to be, the job of Yaakov is to purify his brother Esav. By the way, Yaakov is the moon, and Esav is compared to the sun. Right? And we sense from the Shlach HaKadosh that the ultimate sign that we've done a bitter in Esav is in David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech, he has to be Mesakin the whole world, he and his descendant Mashiach, and that's the reason why David was red. The redness of David HaMelech came because of his job of the Tikkun of Esav. He takes the redness of Esav and he integrates it into Kedushin. So to me it's very, very clear. As we come to the final end of days, and on the night, just the night of the supermoon was Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, which we know that Shvat is the 11th month. And the power of number 11 is to take the opposite of Kedusha and transform it to Kedusha, like we see in the Ketores. Ketores had 11 spices, and one of the spices of the Ketores was from a non-kosher animal. And it was made into Kedusha. And it explains the Chassidus because 11 is the power of God that's infinite, because there's 10 spheroids, and the 11th is the 10th, the 11th one, the one that's infinite and boundless. And from the number of 11 of Kedusha, we have the ability to go down very low and fix the Sitra Achra as well, which the Sitra Achra is also associated with the number 11. Whatever, but that's what it says. So Shvat, which is the 11th month, and that's why it's also the month of Mashiach's month. Everything associated with Mashiach Tzidkenu is number 11, which we're not going to get into right now, but he's born on the 11th, and he becomes a Rebbe on the 11th. Everything about is 11, 11, 11, B'chodesh Ha'achadasa. So when it comes to Chodesh Shvat, which Shvat is the 11th month, we do a tikkun and turning over the other side. So that night of the 15th of the President of the United States, who is a descendant of Esav, he actually comes from German descent, he's a redhead, as we spoke many times, gave a State of the Union address. And in the State of the Union address, he made very clear to the United States that this country is based on an Amunah on the Eibishter. He said this country is not based on government and bureaucracy, it's based on faith and family, and the motto of this country is "In God We Trust." Another thing he announced during the State of the Union, he said very clearly that Yerushalayim belongs to the Jewish people. And he also said that all countries that voted against us about this are going to lose their funding. It was an amazing speech. It was on the 15th of Shvat. That very same night, there was a red moon. That means that Esav is Nisakin, moon is Malchus, and the moon was also a super moon, which means it appears 14% larger. 14 is David. David, Malchus of David in its full glory, and it's also red, which means the tikkun of Esav has been completed. And now is already the time, is what we said, for the giloy of Zeh and Anochi. May we merit to see the Geula Shleima fully revealed. Tachlis HaShleimus, may we see it now.